Praise him in advance. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all the praise. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Our focus will be on Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And with that in mind, let me read it to you from the Living Bible. Since we have such a huge crowd of people of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Keep your eyes on Jesus, our leader and instructor. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards, and now he sits in the place of honor by the throne of God. Now, from the complete Jewish Bible, so then, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us too put aside every impediment, that is, the sin which easily hampers our forward movement, and keep running with endurance in the contest set before us, looking away to the initiator and completer of that trusting Jesus, who in exchange for obtaining the joy set before him, endured execution on a stake as a criminal, scorning the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Today we want to talk about a race worth running. A race worth running. Father, we praise you and we thank you. We pray thy blessings, God, upon your word and upon our time together. That, oh God, you will help me crucify this flesh so that you may have your way through this vessel and through every vessel that has gathered in your place for worship. In Jesus' name, amen. A race worth running. Whatever one does with their life or in their life is really up to that person. It is you or I that need to determine the worth of what it is that we are doing or what we plan to do. As we go through life, we must or we should ask ourselves, is it worth it? Time is precious, and none of us really like to waste time. We need to ask ourselves, what am I really doing this for? What is my goal? What is my aspiration? What is my purpose? There are some things in life that we must do and or should do. Then there are things in life that we get a chance to choose to do. For example, salvation through Jesus Christ is a choice. Amen. It's a choice. It seems like an obvious yes choice, but for many it is not. For there are many unsaved people in the world today. So what seems obvious to you and I who accepted Christ is not obvious to everyone. As God tells us in Deuteronomy, I put before you life and death. And as our Bible instructor says, and then he gave us the answer to the question, choose life. It seems like a no-brainer, but then there's some folks with no brain. No. Yeah, it's a choice. The question is it worth it? Is the salvation journey for you worth it? Is your Christian journey worth it? Is what you've gone through and what you're going through and what you need to go through, is it worth it? For some folk, it may not be worth it because they'll drop the ball at any moment, at any time. Regardless of the reason that they use for dropping the ball, but when something is really worth it, you just don't give up that easy. You really hold on to it. You really go through some things because it's worth it to you. We need to think about, why am I serving Jesus? Why am I saved? What is my purpose in this thing called Christianity? Why did God pull me out of the muck and the miry clay? As we take a closer look at Hebrews verses 12, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, let us try to determine if the race that you and I are now running, if it is supposed to be worth it or not. Is it really worth it? Because sometimes you hear the testimony of the saints, you say, oh my God. Some folks are going through some stuff, but they refuse to give up. Why? Because it's worth it. Lord, have mercy. And you say, oh my God, if that was me, I don't know what I would do. But for some reason, they got something in their heart. They got something in their mind. God has said something to them that they will not give up. As folks say, come hell or high water, I'm going to hold on till my change comes. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving. Some folks say, when I was in Egypt, I ain't have it this good. So what I'm going through right now is better than what I had in Egypt, in my old life. What I had in my old life is nothing compared to what I got. I know I'm going through some stuff, but what God promised me on this side, I'm not giving up. Is your race really worth it? To do this, there are 3 points that I'd like for you and I to consider looking at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Number one, determining my goal. Number one, you got to determine your goal. When you set out to run, when you set out for a race, you don't start running, then find out why you're running. I mean, we used to do that in high school because every day we used to fight, you know, our high school's at Broad and Snyder, South Philadelphia High School, and right on the other side of Snyder was Jackson Street. We had to fight the white boys every day. So you came out and you were running. Some day I say, what y'all running for? I don't know, just running. We running. And we didn't know what we were running for. They chased us all down the subway and everything. It was crazy. Every day we could look forward to that. Oranges, tangerines, they throw them at each other. It was just crazy. But some days you just came out and you just running. And they weren't even out there. I say, what y'all running for? Oh, just run. And when you got to the safe part, you know, you start running. Never set out to run a race. And you don't even have a goal in mind. So number one, determining my goal. Number two, preparing to run. And number three, looking at previous runners. Number one, determining my goal. Number two, preparing to run. Number three, looking at previous runners. Determining my goal. I was taught that whenever you plan to do something, start out with your desired goal and work your plan backwards from there. Find out what you want to accomplish. Then work your plan backwards. Amen. That's good advice. Where are you trying to go? Amen. That's when you want to travel. I'm going on vacation. Where you going? I don't know. You might wind up anywhere. So you have to have something in mind, a destiny, a goal, an aspiration before you begin to run. Don't run for nothing. Please don't run for nothing. Run with a purpose in mind. What is it that I desire to achieve? What is it you desire to achieve? And will this goal or goals that I set before myself, will it be enough or important enough to motivate me to stay in the race no matter what I might go through? That's when you know you got the goal in mind that you really need. The goal you need, you have to determine your goal, is that which no matter what else happens, you still going to stay in the race. Don't have a flimsy goal. Don't have an unrealistic goal, because as soon as something happens in your life, you're going to give up and you're going to get out of the race. So determine your goal, but make sure it's something that's really worth it, something that's really important, so that when stuff starts happening, you'll stay in the race, because that goal will be ahead of you. And you say, no matter what, I'm staying in the race. I'm not going to give up. That's the kind of goal you need. Don't have a flexible goal. Have a goal that is steady. And that whenever something happens, that you look at that goal, you say, I'm staying in. I'm staying in. I'm not giving up. I'm staying in. What they say now, I'm going in. You know, I'm staying in.
I'm staying right there. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay right there because the goal that you set up is a realistic goal. It is an achievable goal. It is a goal that means something to you. It is an important goal. Therefore, I'm going to stay in the race until I meet. I got to crawl across the finishing line. I'm going to stay in the race because the race that we're running now is not how you finish. It's if you finish. Why would I say something like that? Because the Bible tells me I'm going to get a new body when Jesus comes back. Everything's going to be brand new. So I don't care how I look as long as I make it. I might be beat up, messed up, bruised up, cut up. But I ain't going to shut up. I'm going to run my race. No matter what, I'll stay in. So Hebrews 12:2 and B says it this way. That Jesus ran the race and stayed in the race for the joy that was set before him. It is because of this joy that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's awesome. He said because of the joy that was set before him. The joy of accomplishing the will of his Father. The joy of being able to die on the cross and get up for you and for me. That was his goal. That was enough joy for him to stay in the race. I know he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he was all messed up and said, Father, this bitter cup. But then he got to the point of, nevertheless, on your journey, you have to have a goal that when you get to your Garden of Gethsemane, you say, Father, if it's your will, nevertheless. That's the kind of goal we need in life. For the joy that was set before him. He went through all that. He who knew no sin became sin for you and sin for me. That's powerful. He was not guilty until he met me and you. Took on our stuff. Became guilty for us. And died in our place and got up to redeem us. But for the joy. So he determined that his goal was the joy to finish what his Father sent him to do. And he stayed in the race because of that joy. Wow. He knew he was going to get beat up, but the joy was greater than the beating up. The joy was greater than the crucifixion. The goal that he set for himself was greater than everything. They spit on him. They lied on him. They did all kinds of stuff to Jesus. But he said, for the joy, for the goal that I set up for myself, that my Father set up for me is greater. I'm going to stay in the race. So you got to determine your goal. What's your goal? Why are you running this race? Why are you serving Jesus? What is your goal? Do you ever think about that? Suppose he don't give you not another thing. That's people with a lollipop goal. God's like a sugar daddy. That's why I serve him. But it's so much greater than that. It's so much bigger than that. It's all about the giftedness that God has given us and the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to run forth so we could be like the great cloud of witnesses. We could have somebody that we could look at, somebody others can look at, somebody looking at you and I when we leave this place, when we leave our house, when we come to the neighborhood, when we come to the store, when we come to work, wherever we are, somebody wants to see this God that we're serving. And they want to see you going to run the race every day. That's according to your goal. I used to read this and say, oh, they want me to look to Jesus. He said, yeah, I want you to look to Jesus as the author and finisher, as your example, but I want you to have your own goal. Oh, my God. Think about that. Jesus had a goal. He said, you ought to have a goal, too. What are you running this race for? It's okay if it's eternal life. It's okay if you want to be like Jesus, but is it a goal that will keep you in the race? Then you got to, you know, you got to be prepared to run. Jesus had his goal in mind as he ran the race. It was always before him. So before you start running, determine your goal for running. And after you determine your goal for running, you need to learn how to run. As soon as you determine your goal, don't take off because someone's not in shape yet. No, spiritual shape. Spiritual shape. I don't want to lose y'all today. Spiritual shape. Amen. Because this is not one of those races where you got to be all fit and trim. Let's get that straight. This is the journey that Jesus has given you, the particular race that God has set before you. So after you determine your goal for running, you need to learn how to run. Establish a routine and a discipline. Anybody try to exercise at least 3 times a week and just don't get there? Anybody exercise like hand to mouth? Amen. Amen. We all do that. That don't cost you nothing. You don't have to pay no fee. It's free. We need a routine and a discipline to allow all of us to endure and finish the race, because endurance is important, because sometimes the race gets a little tough and you need some energy. You ever get a second wind? Oh, Lord have mercy. You know what that second wind is? You felt like you're just going to faint, but then all of a sudden, the goal popped up in your face, the goal you set up for yourself. Most people know that runners run with materials that are as light as possible. Oh, we got some runners here, but y'all run track. You don't put no iron pants on. Amen. They very, very light. As a matter of fact, when you watch the Olympics, they like skim. Skip it. Lightweight running shoes. They don't put on anything heavy. So they lighten up so that they can run as quickly or as swiftly as possible, and they can endure without having to carry extra heavy stuff along the journey. They don't want to carry extra weight. In running, there is physical, emotional, psychological aspects of the runner that need to be trained and disciplined. Not only do you get your physical body together, you have to mentally be ready for it. You have to be emotionally ready to run the race. The same thing in the Christian race. You got to be ready, not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, and psychologically. Number one, you got to tell yourself you can win. You got to have victory in your mind. Because of Jesus, I can win this race. And I'm going to stay in the race because I can realize the victory in this race, a race that's worth running. So Hebrew tells us in Hebrews 12:1b, how to run the race. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. What's weight and sin? Sin is all the stuff that keeps us from God, out of fellowship with God. Sin means missing the mark with God. The weight is other stuff that we carry around. I can't go to church because my husband ain't going to go. I can't go because my wife ain't going to go. I can't go because I got family members in and out of town. I'll bring the church. I can't go because it's Christmas. That's weight. And when you really look it up, the writer of Hebrews says that the weight for the old witnesses in Hebrew 11 was the weight of the Levitical system, not having Jesus in the flesh yet, and they running by faith. They still had some Levitical stuff they wanted to hold onto. It was weighing them down. But when they were able to get loosened from that stuff, they were able to run. On the race, you got to let some stuff go sometimes. You got to let some people go. I wish I had a witness in here. You might start in church with somebody. You might start running the race with somebody. And they start acting goofy, you know what I mean? But look at here. I got to let you go because my goal is not your goal. I got a goal set up. I got to run on. I'm sorry. I know we friends and me and you cool and all that. But this thing is real to me. And I got to run this race. So it says we got to learn how to lay aside every weight and the sin which thus will easily beset us. And it says, you know, in the other version of the translation, how about the stuff that wraps itself around your ankles and stop you from running and trips us up? All of us got some of that stuff somewhere. If we don't get rid of it, Lord have mercy. It's going to mess around. You're going to be running. And all of a sudden it just pop up. You say, I thought I dealt with that. See, that's what happens when you sweep stuff under the rug. See, stuff under the rug only makes a hump bump. It doesn't disappear. Lord have mercy. You got to ask, Jesus, can you purge me? Jesus, can I get rid of this stuff? You go into my house, they got the camel rug. Humpity, 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 humpity. They've been sweeping stuff under the rug. They have not been dealing with their issues. Folks need to understand we got to deal with our issues. Get to the root of the problem. Just, you know, you can't just say it's over with. No, get down to the root of it and get that root out. So that while you're on the journey, the enemy can't use that root to crop up on you and mess you up. You running hard and you sweating. All of a sudden, you ain't going nowhere. You're like, you in quicksand. You're like, I'm going down. What? It's some stuff. But see, when you run in the race, you can still talk to Jesus. Suppose you're almost out of breath. Talk from your heart. Lord, God, I decided to make Jesus my choice. I got to run this race. Stuff's going to grab you. And the enemy's good. He'll make your children grab you. Amen. You trying to pray. You trying to read your word. One of them gets sick. After you get this one quiet, the other one start crying. Or you ever have it in the house where they pass the cold around? They pass the fever. This one had it this week.
You got to that week, then the next one had it. And you mess around, after all three of your children get it, then you get it. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. You got to know how to deal with stuff. Life just happens. But when you get yourself, when you put yourself in the race, are you going to finish? Anybody running just for style? Anybody running just to be seen? Anybody running because grandmama took me to church and granddaddy was a pastor? Anybody running just to be running? You got to determine your goal and be prepared to run. Before you step out, before you make the first running step, you got to be prepared. Get the right running shoes on. Amen. Take them army boots off. You don't want to be weighed down. You want to be gracefully moving in the Lord. Because there's enough obstacles along the journey that's going to try to stop and prevent you from running. So lay aside every weight. All the stuff, all the guilt folks done put on you. All the stuff folks done told you that you live with, and you finally got delivered from it. So now ask God to renew your mind. If you've been delivered from it physically, say, God, please deliver me from it emotionally and mentally from my mind so I can run this race. I am not what they said I was. I am not what they said I was not going to be. I am who you called me to be. And I'm not running this race really for them. They can look at me if they want to and see how great thou art. But I'm actually running this race because I'm trying to do something with my life. I'm trying to get to that place where you want me to be, God. I want you to be in my life, over my life. I want to feel the anointing. I want to feel the power of your presence in my life, God. I'm tired of all the stuff they've been putting me through. I've been trying to make ends meet. They won't meet yet, God. I need something else to do. I'm working 3-4 jobs. Ain't nothing working out for me, God. Seems like everything just falling apart. I'm in the race. If I'm in the race and I got the right goal, no matter what else happens, it's going to work out because I'm keeping focused. What did Paul say? I forget all those things which are behind and I press. I wish I had somebody knew about pressing. Pressing. See, that's what happened to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane actually means oil press. They would take the olives there and they would press the olives and get the olive oil out of the olives. So when he was going through something, God was pressing him to get the best out of him. Don't be afraid of the press. Sometimes God will press you to get the oil, to get that out of you that he needs to extract that will keep you on the journey. So number one, determine your goal. Number two, be prepared to run. Run with patience. I like that part. The race that is set, that's your particular race. It's not a competitive race. It should be a cooperative race. We ought to be encouraging one another. It's not competitive. That's one thing I love about the race with Christ. I ain't got to outrun you. You know, you ever see two little boys? I can beat you running. Boy, they run their little hearts out. Let's do it again, Sam. I'm going to beat you this time. You know. But see, when you run in the Christian race, you don't have to worry. It's not a competition. Matter of fact, you're not even competing with the devil. You know why? Because greater is he that is in you than he. You ain't got to outdistance no devil. Just tell him where to go. You know, like y'all tell some people where to go. Tell the devil where to go. Y'all, people make get on your nerves. Okay. Run with patience. Run with patience, a race that is set before us. Run with patience. Don't run like you're rushed. Run like you've got a goal in mind. Hallelujah. Run like you know what you're running for. Run like we know who we're running to and what we're running about. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Then you got to look at the previous runner. So now we have a reason for running and a routine or a regimen to prepare to run this race. Like, you know, don't just be running and got all that old stuff hanging up. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time in the Word of God. Get that stuff off of us so we can run. Look at the Olympians, the people that run the race. You see how they be out there warming up? Some of us, we come to church, we ain't warmed up. We get warm up when we get here. Warm up is here. We ain't got no warm up. You get out the band, ain't no warm up. You so busy rushing, trying to get the dress or the suit together and everything, trying to get the hair together, trying to get the kids together. You ain't got no time for warm up. My God, you need some warm-up sometime so that when you get to the church, you can start sprinting. Oh, my God. Get up a little earlier. That's all.
Anybody not late for work?
Oh, excuse me. Let's go ahead now. Let's go ahead. That blows my mind. I mean, I'm always time conscious, but how could I not be late for work and be late for Jesus? That messes me up. That just blows my mind. I said, we got this thing twisted. But when we finally figure out that the job is a resource and God is our source, that God gave us a job, the job is actually our resource, the Lord have that promotion don't come from the east or the west or the south, but it comes from the north, then we don't have to politic at work. That's another message. I'm getting confused here. Okay, number three. We need to look at previous runners. Are there any previous runners that I can look at? Anybody I can look at? You know, they look at, they look at all the great runners. And who's that guy now? Usain Bolt? He got the right last name, don't he? He be bolting. Usain Bolt. He's the fastest man alive right now, I believe. That dude just be. And he look like he ain't going to make it. I like his, just, you know, what he does sometimes. He chilling. He be chilling. People be passing him, you know? But he got a golden mind. And he know he can win. So he don't have to worry about it. They passing him. He look at him sometimes. But at a certain point in the race, and he leaves such a margin in between him and second place. I was like, wow, this guy has trained to run. So do we have any previous runners that we can look at, that ran this same type of race and have been successful? Hebrews 11 is a chapter of people of faith who ran the race of faith, and Jesus had not yet even come in the flesh. They did it on a promise. Lord have mercy. They ran this race of faith on a promise of a Christ that will come after they were dead and gone. I tell you, what a goal they had in mind. Had not even seen Christ in the flesh. Think about that when you read Hebrews 11. All the heroes of faith. Abraham and then Jacob and all the people they list in Hebrews 11. And Cain, they talk about Cain and Abel. And they talk about Enoch. And they talk about Noah. Christ had not come in the flesh yet. You and I have Christ in the flesh. Come, born, died, crucified, resurrected, and we're still fumbling all over the place. So we got some great cloud of witnesses, they say. We got some folks that already have run the race. They are our examples that it can be done. And if it can be done without Christ in the flesh, not saying they did it without Christ because they had the hope. But what can be done with Christ in the flesh? Lord have mercy. Any previous runners? Wherefore, seeing we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We got some folk that already have run the race, y'all. And they made it. They made it. They didn't have the technology that you and I have. They made it. They didn't have Skechers. They did not have Adidas. Okay? They didn't have Nike. Just do it. We got all this stuff. We got the Word of God printed. They ain't had no Bible. Oral tradition. That's where they got the Word from. Oral tradition passed down. But they believed it. They said, we got another building. Not that. I got a better country. They had a goal in mind. They were torn asunder. Read Hebrews 11. Burned at the stake. Put in lions then. But they ran the race. They said, I'm not giving up. When you read Hebrews 11, I'm not giving up because I got a goal in mind. I'm going to run this race. Previous runners. Great cloud of witnesses. And look at Hebrews 12 too. Looking unto Jesus, the initiator and finisher of our faith. My God. And I almost began to believe that Jesus ran the race for me. No, he didn't. He ran the race to show me that it could be done. Because I got to run my own race. Anybody understand since you've been in Jesus Christ, you got to run your own race? Anybody understand you can't get on grandmama's coattail and granddaddy's coattail? No, you got to run your own race. So Jesus actually ran the race before us to show us he paved the way. He pioneered the way for us.
And through salvation of the blood of Jesus, I know I can make it. I almost made a mistake saying, Jesus ran the race. He said, no, I ain't run the race for you. I told you to look at me as the author and finisher of your faith. I told you to look at the great cloud of witnesses, but you got to get your own goal, baby. You got to move your own feet. Lord have mercy. You got to run the race for yourself. Looking unto Jesus, the initiator and perfecter of our faith. Some of y'all looking at me, you're tired because you're tired of running. You've been running in your mind. You've been running. A race that's worth it. There are others who have run, but Jesus is the main one. He ran this race to show you and I that it could be done. He actually ran the course specifically for us so that we could, in fact, be victorious. He said, you don't have to pave the way, I made the way.
If you run where I ran, you're going to be all right. If you run looking unto me, because I'm sitting at the right hand. What did it say when he got finished? He sat down on the right hand. He said, if you run like I run, you're going to be able to win this race. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, folks that have gone on before. You ever look at people going on before? Anybody here love sports? Always dealing with sports, legends and stuff. Some folks watch that channel all day long. The greats. The great basketball players. The great football players. These are people, and some of the newer players will tell you, such and such inspired me. This player inspired me. I try to pattern my work ethic after so-and-so because of what they achieved, because of the race that they ran. Well, look unto Jesus. Because he's the only one I know in this Christian thing called Christianity that could run the race the way he ran it and be successful in it. Even though the other ones ran it and were successful, he ran it in a different kind of way because in order for him to finish the race, he had to go to the cross for you and for me. And that's not how the story ends. In 3 days, my God. So run the race in faith. Based on the promise of Jesus Christ, who has already come for you and I in the flesh and done what he is supposed to do. He was 11, they didn't have him in the flesh. You ever look at people sometimes? They don't have what we had and they made it. They didn't grow up like we grew up. They didn't have mother and father in the house, single family or single parent or no parent home. You ever see folk on TV or people you know that made it and you wonder why you ain't making it? Because sometimes we so doggone blessed, we get lazy with it. Lord, we take so much stuff for granted. Stop and teach the young children about all the stuff you've given them and where it comes from. Hey, I don't have no problem with Santa Claus, but Santa Claus don't pay the bills. Santa Claus don't cook no food. Santa Claus don't make no bed. Santa Claus don't give no medicine. Santa Claus don't stay up all night wiping folks' noses and their eyes. I ain't got no problem with Santa Claus, but he can't take for so much of the credit. Somebody needs to know. Yeah, jolly old Saint Nicholas, don't you look this way. You can tell every soul I got something to say. I ain't trying to mess with nobody's Christmas. Folks that see these kids that got their hands out for stuff. You're not explaining to them what's happening. Then you get laid off. You got to explain it to them. Well, now it's time to talk. No, you should have talked to them a long time ago. So they would lay off, okay? They would lay cool. They still expect you to buy them all this expensive stuff. You just keep on giving. Ain't nothing wrong with loving your kids, but love with a little explanation. Love them to let them know how hard you got to work and all the stuff you got to go through on your job to make sure you got money to take care of them. And you wipe your face 4 times before you come in the house so you won't take it out on them. I wish I had a witness here today. Are you on the race and you running and you going through some stuff, but God has allowed you to bless your family and to bless yourself, but you know what you're going through. But that's because God promised you something, you refuse to give up. You refuse to give in. You set your goal. You run in your race. You're not ready to give yourself in. You're not ready to prostitute yourself so you can have this. You don't go for it yourself. A race worth running. And when it looks like God can't hear your prayers, do you have a goal in mind that you're still going to run the race? When you let everybody turn their back on you, will you still run the race? You can't have no flimsy, flexible goal. We've got to have something ahead of us that we can see. You can see through the clouds. The psalmist, I look to the hills from where it's coming my help. My help, you got to do.
Sometimes you got to wipe your own eyes. Because stuff gets in there, filters in there, stuff be messing us up, distorting our view of what God promised us. One thing about God, God does not lie. So whatever you say, it's going to be. I don't care how many bushes or forests or trees you got to knock down to get to it. If God promises it to you, you're going to get it. I don't care who comes in your life, who leaves your life. If God promises it to you, you're going to get it. You just got to keep on running till you get to the place where God says, here it is. He told Abraham, look, I'll show you what mountain. Let's take your son and sacrifice him. And Abraham said, okay.
God's done somebody like that right here in this church. He told you to move and you said, oh, well, I'm going to say, I'll show you when you get there.
You got to have that kind of faith sometimes. God says, stop being mad at everybody on your job. I got a promotion for you. I know you're upset all them years you've been there working your off.
You all that. Matter of fact, when you take off, they shut down the office. That's how bad you is.
You are. They recognize the little mealy mouth increases so Uncle Sam can get his. Then one day you say, oh my God, but I got a job. That's after you walk by the 500 people standing in line at the Marriott Hotel for one job. God, thank you, God. And some of those 500 people in that line, they still on the journey for Jesus.
They still have faith. They still go in the church. They still trust in God. Because they got a goal in mind. And just because they're unemployed, they're not going to get mad with God and stop serving God and put the hymn book away and put the Bible away and get off the praise team and stop preaching it. That's when the race is worth it to you. That's when God promised you something that your sugar daddy promised you and left walked out on you. Folk promising you stuff, you believe in all that crap. They walking out on you. You don't even know how to run. You didn't have to run. You fell for the open door.
That's why the enemy is always right there. But if you run in that race, God will give you what you need to be able to run the race. There are going to be some pitfalls and detours. We fall down, but we get up. Come on, somebody. It's a race. It's life.
This is life. If I'm going to go through something in life, I'm going to go through something in life with somebody who got something for me. His name is Jesus. If I'm going to be challenged, I'm going to be challenged for a purpose in mind or with a purpose in mind. I'm not just going to go through just to go through. No, I'm going to get through life with a goal in mind. I'm trying to reach something. I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to go somewhere. You don't even have to agree with me. You don't have to run with me. Just get out of my way. Stop trying to talk me out of going to church. Ask you all these stupid questions about my God. He works for me. I tell folks, I ain't got to prove it to you. It works for me. And I'm mighty fine with the God that I serve. I'm sorry it bothered you so much that you have 1,000 questions. But it seems like no matter what answer I give you, it's still not good enough for you. Well, let me tell you something. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And there's only two places you can go. You can go up or you can go down. Your choice. I ain't got time for the foolish conversation, for the endless stupid stuff. God's been too good. I've been on the journey too long to let somebody come talk some crazy stuff. Well, this is what you got. The man wrote the Bible. So what? 40-plus men wrote the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know there's something wrong in the translation. If I say, wasn't nothing wrong with the transmission. Oh, yeah, let folks know. When God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, when he transmitted his word, wasn't nothing wrong with the transmission. There may be something wrong with the translation. But if I can just get you to understand John 3:16, there's never been a problem with that. Can you understand John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm running this race. I got to go. Please excuse me. I got somewhere to go. I'm not trying to be nasty. I'm not trying to be evil. But you asked a whole bunch of dumb questions, and you're not going to turn me around on the journey. I didn't ask you for no money to give to my church. I didn't ask you to come to my church. I didn't ask you to sing me no song. All I asked you was, do you love the Lord? That's all. Lord Jesus.
I asked you all that stuff. I asked you to wake me up so I can go to church. I asked you for nothing.
What's the issue? You can say all these other names out in the world, say Jesus, you get in trouble.
You go to Center City, holler Jesus Christ, somebody's going to say, whoosh. And you say Muhammad or Hashni or Hua. You say, they might throw some money at you. Say, Jesus, what's going on in America? Take that name out of school. Take a name off the money. I say, go ahead. Take a name off the money. My father's rich. Take a name off the money. The wealth of the wicked later. Take a name off it. Run this race. Is your race worth it? You got to make that determination for yourself. Is your race worth it? Are you looking to those that went on before? Are you looking to Jesus, your author and center of your faith? And just because it's worth it don't mean it's easy. There's a lot of stuff in life that you and I achieve that is not easy. But we were so determined. Some people were determined. They said, look, I'm going to finish school. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get married. I'm going to raise my kids. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. And people have done great things. But when it comes to the spirituality of our lives, sometimes we fall a little bit short. Because somehow we think that Jesus is going to do it. Jesus said, you step up to the plate and the Holy Spirit will give you the anointing to get it done.
Running this race. This is a race worth running.
But that's my assessment. You got to assess it for yourself. When we were in Israel, a lot of diamonds that we didn't know come through Israel. They took us to this fabulous place. Many of us with no money. They took us to this fabulous place. With all these diamonds. And they would talk about, you know, a lot of diamonds come to Israel and everything. But in order to find the worth of the diamond, they had to look at it very closely. They had to use some kind of lens. You know how the jewelers do or gemologists do? They look at it. And Jesus said, I want you to look at this thing called Christianity. I want you to look at it closely so you can see the facets in the diamonds. Because, see, when you look at it with your naked eye, you're just going to see the rough diamond. But if you look at it spiritually through the eyes that I'm trying to give you, you're going to see the good in this thing. You're going to see the facets. You're going to see how much this diamond I'm giving you is really, really worth. So, you know, make an assessment. Is it really worth it? Do not base your assessment on the fact that you're going through something right now. Base your assessment on the fact of what he promised you in the Word of God, that he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom? Base it on the promises of God. Die for Paris, a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Base it on the promises of God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. Base it on the promises of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. God will raise up a stand. Oh my. When the enemy comes in, that's what you base it on. You base it on the promises. And then you worship on the premises. Let them know, God, it's all right. God, it's all right. I'm going through something, but God, it's all right. Because the goal, where I'm trying to go, I don't care what I got to go through. I'm going to make it. I'm going to run the race until I hear you say, well done. There's a race that God has ordained for you to run, so you can't compare it to my race. A lot of times people say, Pastor, co-pastor, what is God doing in my life? Sometimes it's your particular race, and you got to seek him for an answer. But keep on running. You can stop and take a rest, but don't drop out. Don't be a race dropout. Stay in the race, because God's got some good things planned for you. Matter of fact, there's some things planned on the journey. Even though you got a goal in mind, every day ain't messed up. That's all. That's what we testify. Yeah. When we testify, we got to tell the gory, gory, gory. Not the glory, but the gory part. Somebody got a good testimony. Somebody ain't go through nothing last week. And they scared to say it because they said, if I say something. People get like that. Oh, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Oh, if I say something, Lord have mercy. So you better tell that thing. Because somebody needs to be encouraged along the way. But Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he got up to give us what we needed for the race. It's a done deal. That's one thing you know. It's a done deal. You already got your salvation. Everything else that he promised you, it's a done deal. Can't nobody take it back. I know you read in the book of Daniel, all the enemy did was he held it up. But he couldn't deny it. They said delay, but not deny.
I know somebody, God promised you something along and you're going through and you're getting kind of discouraged. Be encouraged because it's still coming your way. As a matter of fact, FedEx came by your house and you weren't there. Came by the delivery, but you weren't there. And couldn't nobody else sign for it because it's yours. Oh, my God. You better know when to be home. We got the victory already. We don't know exactly when Jesus is coming back, but we know he will. That's part of the race. God, I don't know when you're coming back, but I know you will come back. Jesus ran the race for the joy that was set before him. A joy so strong, a joy so important that he endured what he had to be victorious. For Jesus, it was a race worth running. We got all those songs, you know, I want to be like Jesus and everything. Do we really want to be like him? What is it that is set before you to keep you in the race? You know, I like looking at the Olympics. They got all these different things they do at the Olympics, all the, like pole vaulting. And I particularly like the running. You know, the race. And I like to see how they do that. They be the people that I think aren't going to win, a lot of times they win. And that's the way people look at us in the church. They ain't going nowhere. They ain't doing nothing. Serving that Jesus. They think we're not going to win, but we're winning. Then a few months, a few years later, they say, oh my God, look at them. Look at what God has done in their lives. Look at that little bad, that little boy used to be so bad, her son. Oh, my God. He used to terrorize. Oh, he's a preacher. He's somebody pastor. Lord have mercy. You know, people begin to look at what God is doing in your life. And you got to understand, I like the Olympics. I like all the different things happening. But there's one thing I dislike about the Olympics. It's because when you go to the race, there's a lot of contestants. Only three people can win. They ain't right. Everybody ran their heart out. But some folks are in the race just to get experience. Some people in the race know they can't win, but they're just trying to get the endurance. They're trying to get, but only three people can win. They only got the bronze, silver, and gold medal at the end. That's the only part I don't like about Olympics. Some people are running hard. All of them fall out at the end. I don't care when they cross. There was one lady, she did cross about an hour later. But she still fell out, you know. I don't know if she fell out because she was tired or because she was embarrassed, but she still fell out. And nobody came to help her. They helped everybody else. First, second, third, fourth, fifth. The tenth person come in, she just laid there. Ain't your mama in the stands? Your daddy in the stands? Somebody jump over the gate and come on, help this woman. But in reality, only three folk could win. But I'm mighty glad that on the race of Christianity, everybody can win. Hallelujah. See, you got to remember that you're not running a competitive race. You're running a cooperative race. You're cooperating with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And if you run the race that God has set for you, you shall be victorious. And when you get to the finishing line, you can fall out if you want to. But guess what? It's a well done. Guess what? You made it. Guess what? All those that talk about this, they got to shut their mouths. There are people looking at you right now. Oh, yeah, they done went around there, accepted Jesus. And they done went around there, their church ain't about nothing but taking the money and everything. Watch, they'll be right back here in a few minutes after the pastor's gonna take the money, get them a nice long Cadillac out front. Ain't nothing happening in that church. The people are going up. I was in the church one time myself. I can't stay in them churches. They talking all that stuff while you running the race, and all of a sudden they look up and say, Lord have mercy. Jesus, look at what's going on across the street there. Oh, no, they're moving out. Oh, my God. Hey, glory. They look, they see your countenance change. They mad because you don't come to their parties no more. Wow. People hate when you change. They get so comfortable like you were. They get comfortable like that. And instead of them being happy for you, they mad at you. Why you change? Cuss me out. Come on. Get drunk with me. Please. Please? Come on, I got the powder. Come on. Your arm can take one more needle. You say, look, I'm running a race. I got to focus. And God delivered me from so much stuff, I refuse to go back that way. You got to let folks know, when you've been delivered from stuff, look, I refuse. And you know, I talked to a lot of people that came out of Kirkbride. They tell you something always sitting on their shoulder, telling them to go back, get another hit. Go back, get another hit. But I said, let me tell you something. If they're in your right ear, listen to that dude in your left ear. Greater is he
that is in you than he that I'll never leave you nor. You got a choice of voice.
You got to make a choice sometime. And the best time to press your way to the house of God is when you don't feel like coming. That's the time you get up and say, look at here. Look at here. No, I'm going. Because that's the day that you're, look. But that's when you know how to run the race. You know what's going on in your life. You had a crazy week. Oh, let me just stay here and rest. No, don't stay there and rest. Come on in and take all that stuff that happened to you. Matter of fact, get some of them bags from BJ's or what's that place you used to work at? Home Depot, them big contractor bags. You know, big thick, 3 mil thick contractor bag. Put all that junk, drag it to the altar. And say, God, you said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy. I'm trying to run this race. Some of us are trying to run it. We got so much stuff. All that old stuff. Today, God is saying, release yourself from all that baggage so you could run the race. Forget about your past marriage. Forget about your past relationships. Forget about all the stuff that happened to you and you were on this and you was on that. Forget about all that, about the time you almost committed suicide. God stopped all that for you to be here this day to let you know you keep on running this race. I am with you. I'm going to be with you. He said, you know what? Your life ain't never going to be as messed up as it could be without me. So no matter what you're going, you got some help. You let the enemy know, I got some help. You let the devil know, guess what, devil? You should have got me when you had me. But now that I'm delivered, now that I'm set free, you've got to learn how to talk to your enemies now. You have to let folk know. I used to be a wimp, but not now. I learned. Stop being afraid of stuff and step out in the Lord. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. If I leave her and leave him, I can't make it. Who the heck told you that? I don't understand Siamese twins saying that. She said, foul, 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 foul. I mean, seriously, because sometimes if they separate, they won't make it, you know. All right. Y'all don't want to laugh. They put on me. But you got to know it's the particular race that is set before you. And somebody may not understand what you're going through or why you're running. But sometimes you don't have time to explain it. Because I tell you, God is so great in our lives that guess what? You can't explain it. Sometimes you can't put into English what God is doing in your life. You got to tell folks a picture is worth a thousand words. Just watch me. I'm sorry. I can't even. Just watch what God is doing. Sometimes don't even answer them. They try to provoke you and to talk about you and challenge you and say, I don't know why you went to church. That church ain't none. Ain't nothing. Pastor and Cobalt, they human beings just like you. They put their pants and clothes on just like you. And every time I turn around, Pastor Cobalt, you go out of China. They ain't say nothing when you was out there spending all your money drinking and getting drugs and all. They ain't say nothing to you about that, did they? Did they tell you about that? You all that money you wasted out there, they just. They ever say, so you stop wasting your money on me. No! But now God cleaning you up and you're looking pretty good. They upset with you right now. Look, I'm running this race. I'm sorry. You can get in the race if you want to, but I'm not. No, I can't go back that way. I'm very sorry. But people will mess you up, getting all up in your business, all up in your head, messing you up, trying to tell you this and tell you that. There ain't no real Jesus. Ain't no real God. Ain't no Holy Ghost. God ain't do this. It don't take all that. You go to one of them churches, y'all be shouting. No, yeah, it don't take all that shout. That's why God has different churches. If you don't like to shout, go to the church down the street. It's called Funeralistic Church. You go find your dead service. Don't come and try to change this service. This is what God did here. You don't like it up in here. You like a dead service. Go find you a dead church. They got black all over the door. Go find it. That's why there's diversity in the body. So you can find the church that suits you. Don't go in a place trying to change it. Go where God would have you, where you feel the presence of God, the power of God, the anointing of God, the purpose of God, the preeminence of God in your life. That's what you need to do. And just stay there and learn what you can learn. You don't have to answer folk that keep on bugging you. Just say pray for them. That mess them up all the time. People mess you, just pray for them.
Just pray for me. That's all right. Just pray for me. I'm on the journey. Just pray. God will bless you. He came that we might have life, have it more abundantly. It don't mean just money. Being clothed in your right mind. Being in the race and running the run. Everybody has been through something. And the enemy couldn't take you out because God was in your life. He tried to snuff us out. He tried to kill you. He tried to destroy your marriage, your life, your children, your reputation. But guess what? We are here today standing on the promises of God. There's one thing I do know, that the devil can't get you when God got you. And you got to believe it and understand that. We've been through some stuff. You might go through some more stuff. But the victory is in the cards for you and for me. Let us all stand. There may be some souls here today that wanted a reason to run the race.